Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. Yes, let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today thanking you, Lord, for this day. Thanking you for the opportunity that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for life itself. We thank you, God, for a community, oh God, where we can show love, we can have caring and sharing with one another. Thank you, God, for the food that you put on our tables. Thank you, God, for longevity that you give us, God. Thank you, Lord, how you keep blessing us, how you keep taking care of us, how you keep protecting us. Thank you for all your many blessings that you continue to shower on us. And we will be very careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor because it's all about you. Oh, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' holy name. And we say amen. We say amen. Yes, we know what time of year it is. And we know that Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And we know that today is what we say, Good Friday. Yeah, Good Friday. We also know that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. He was. And the chastisement that was brought upon him just for us to have peace. Think about that. Just for us to have a little peace. Yeah, a little peace. And it says, with his stripes, we are healed. Now, that should be talking to a lot of us today. We are healed. Whatever it is that we're struggling with, whatever it is that we're going through, we are healed. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, we are healed. Yes. Our souls claim healing in the name of Jesus. The suffering of Jesus. Suffering. We know that it is a word that we do not like to hear. We don't like to hear that. But we know there are many different ways that we experience suffering. Yeah, we see many forms of suffering today. Yeah, more than we ever seen, really, more than we ever seen in a lifetime. We see suffering. It's all around us. If it's not close to us, it's far. It's in vision, visual, where we could see it. We could hear it. We hear suffering. Yeah. Our forefathers experienced much more physical suffering than we experience today. Keep in mind that what you may feel, what you may think is really terrible, that you're the only one that's going through this, you are not alone. Tell Satan to get back. Tell him to get under your feet because you're going to trust in Almighty God. Yeah. Suffering. Suffering is suffering and no one has joy. No one can have joy when they're going through suffering. There is no joy through suffering. Many times, this is what we hear. And this is what we think. I can't find the joy in here. I can't find. But we could push if we just keep pushing. Push hard enough. Push hard enough. While the suffering is taking place, how we can just take our mind off of ourselves. Glory to God, huh? In this particular season, we know Jesus is the main person, who has went through a crucifixion. Jesus. Many of us may feel we are crucified today, but none of us have ever gone through what Jesus has gone through for us. None of us. And many times, to be honest, to be straight, we're not going to go through a crucifixion for somebody and we know that they're not right, they're not going to appreciate it. Think about it. You know how we are. If I know you're not going to appreciate what I'm doing, I'm not going to do it. But see, Jesus did not have that mentality. Glory to God. Yeah, he was an earthly vessel, but he still had a spiritual mindset. And his mindset was more spiritual than it was earthly. So he knew there was a reason, there was a purpose that he was here. Mm-hmm. And he stayed focused. So as we look into the heart of this lesson, remember, Jesus is he is on his way. He's on his way to the cross for you and for me. Mm-hmm. Today we want to make sure there is clarity in the reason why he went to the cross. The reason. It's not for no Easter basket. The reason. It's not for no chocolate bunny rabbit. The reason. It's not for a new spring dress. It's not for a new shoe. That is not the reason. The crucifixion of Jesus has many interests. It does. In the crucifixion, we see that the Jewish leaders, they were all interested. They were in attendance. The Romans. The Pharisees, and of course, those who were in Christ. Yeah, we were there. Jesus was a nonviolent king. Nonviolence. Sound like someone we knew? Martin Luther? Nonviolence. He did not fight against the Roman government. He didn't do it. Jesus, he taught us all about having two homes and two sets of families, a heavenly family and an earthly family. We learned that from Jesus. Think about it. Jesus, he was always teaching us something quietly, and then sometime, in some occasions, he got kind of noisy. But he was always teaching. We could always sit there and learn from Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. This is where we're going to go. We're going to look and see what the account that Luke has put in place. Luke, we know Luke is the physician. Yes. And Luke has something to say about Jesus. So here we see Luke emphasizes on the political. He talks about the political charges that were brought up against Jesus. If you really sit and listen to the crucifixion and what it's really entailed, there are two things that's going on. It's a lot really that's going on. But the two main things is Jesus is spiritual and the Pharisees, and the Roman government, they're all into politics. This is politicians. This is all political. Yeah. We see this today. We see it today, and many times we are not really sure what we're looking at. But Here we see at the cross, we see political things that are going on. So in Luke chapter 23, and we're going to go with, I'm just going to go paraphrasing, and we know that here in Luke, at verse, let's say at verse, I have verse, let's go with the first verse, and it says here that then the whole assembly of them got up and conducted Jesus before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, assert him, and say that they had found misleading, corruption, corrupting the nation and forbidding them to pay tribute to Caesar, saying that he, Jesus himself in Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the king. So here we see Jesus was accused. He was being accused. And he was being accused. What did it say? Because he was what? The Messiah, the anointed one, the king. And this is who he was. Was he lying? Was anyone lying at this particular charge? No. Three. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered, and he said, "What? I am." And Pilate said to the chief priests and the thrones, "I find no guilt. I find no fault. I find no crime in him." Think about that. Think about that. Here we see someone is instigating. This is what they're actually doing. They're instigating. They're looking for something to put on Jesus. They're looking for some type of charge that they could trump up to charge Jesus with. Why? Because they didn't like him. They didn't want him to help anyone. They didn't like the idea that the people loved him. Oh, glory to God. We see this today. We see it. We see it. Look at that. And Pilate said to the chief priests and to the thrones, "I find no guilt or crime in this man." And they were urgent and sympathetic, and they said, "He stirs up." He excites the people, teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, even to this place. Now, what's wrong with that? Many people have did this. Many people have come before Jesus, and maybe they had some encounters, but not to this extreme. Jesus, he was the anointed one. He is the anointed one. Even today, Jesus. Think about this. And it says here, upon hearing this, Pilate asked whether the man was a Galilean. You think that made a difference? You think it made a difference if he was a Galilean, if he was a Hebrew, if he was a Jew? Yes, and when he found out, certainly, that he belonged to Herod. See, this is politics. So he is out of his jurisdiction. So now he has to go to King Herod's jurisdiction. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Politics. And this is what Jesus is actually experiencing as he's on his way to the cross for you and me. Yes. Think about King Herod. He was the one that when Jesus was born, he was trying to find a star. He wanted to put a star at because he wanted what? He wanted to kill Jesus. So he wanted to kill all the babies because he couldn't find Jesus. Remember? Well, here he is. Here he is. And he gets the chance to look at Jesus. And it says, now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had eagerly desired to see him for a long time. For a long time he wanted to see him because of what he had heard concerning him, and he was hopeful to witness some signs. He wanted to see some striking evidence, a particular performance. He wanted Jesus to do some of those miracles. That's what he wanted. And so verse 9 says, so he asked many questions. Mm-hmm. And it says, meanwhile, the chief priests and the scribes stood by. They stood standing there. They were violently trying to accuse. They were trumping up something. They wanted to just say anything that Jesus had done that was not lawful, but anything that was out of their Jewish, their constitution. Yes. Yes. Anything that could cause Jesus to be crucified. So he asked him many questions. And Herod said to his soldiers, treat him with contempt and scorn and ridicule him. And then they dressed him up in bright, glorious apparel, and they sent him back to Pilate. Think about this. Such arrogancy, but at the same time annoying and making fun and just trying to ridicule the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who came down from heaven for you and for me, huh? Yeah. Look at that. And that very day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other, and they had been really enemies before. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, you brought this man before me as one who pervert and mislead and turning away to corrupting the people. And behold, after examining him before you, I have not found any. Listen to me. There was no offense. There was nothing that Jesus had done. Nothing that they could actually say that he was guilty of. Look, 15. Nor indeed did Herod, for he sent him back to us because he had done nothing deserving of death. And it says, I will therefore chasten him and deliver him and release him. For it was necessary for him to be released to them, one prisoner. Listen to this. This was their custom, that during the feast time, that one prisoner would be released. Mm-hmm. But they all together raised a deep cry, crying and weeping, because they didn't want Jesus to be released. Instead, they took Barabbas to release him. And he was a man who had been thrown into prison for raising riots in the streets and even for murder. Yes. So once here we see Pilate call them to wish that they would release Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they kept shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. And a third time he said to them, why? What's wrong has he done? I have found no guilt. I have found no crime in him, nothing deserving of death. I will therefore chasten him in order to teach him and release him. But they were insistent. They were of urgence. They were loud. They were crying to crucify him, crucify him. And I, you know, when I read this and I've studied this, I couldn't understand why. These were the people, some of them were some of the people who loved Jesus, some of the people that saw some of the things that Jesus had done, how Jesus had healed, Jesus had did many things. But now, right now, you want to crucify him. Why? What was the reason? And, you know, we see that today. Who you think is your friend is not always necessary your friend. They will not stick with you. That's why we know that Jesus, he will stick closer than any brother. Jesus, when we call on him, he will come. Jesus will protect. He will keep all of us. Nobody, nobody can do us like Jesus. No one, no one. And here we see in 23, and it says that they insisted, and they begin to cry out because they wanted Jesus to be crucified. And so Pilate gave sentence. And they asked, should be done. So he released the man who had been thrown into prison for the riots and the murders. He released Barabbas. And they kept Jesus. And as they led him away, they seized Simon of Syria. Because Jesus needed help to carry that cross. Jesus needed help to carry that cross. Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus needed help. Even today, Jesus needs our help. He needs for us to make a stand. He needs for us to live a life that is pleasing. Huh? He needs us. Oh, yeah, that's something we can do even today. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We can do our part. Yes. And it says here that Luke writes of the women who moaned Jesus' execution. Yes, it was an execution. It was not just a crucifixion. He was executed. Yes. And it was done in such a political manner. But most of the time we don't hear the back and forward of the government and how the government see the Pharisees had to go to Pilate because Pilate was over the government. He was the leader. And the government would be the one to actually crucify Jesus. And that's what they were trying to get the government to do. So they were pushing things up on it. We see this today when some of our people get caught up in things like this. And they plant things on them, and they had nothing to do with it. They get into penitentiary prisons for years and years. But they were set up. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Luke shows us the humility of Jesus. And when he prayed that God, his Father, would forgive them. Think about that. He would forgive them. Those who were responsible for his execution. This is the man that we're talking about, Jesus. Luke 23 and 34 talks about. Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried asking God to forgive your enemy? Have you ever tried that? Even those who wrong you, even now, mistreated you, lied on you. Have you ever prayed the prayer and asked God to forgive them, for they know not what they are doing? Jesus. Yes, he was an earthly vessel, but he was spiritual. He had his spiritual, heavenly mindset. Yes. Glory to God. He stayed focused, and he knew what he had come to do. Even though there were times when he was weak, and we all get weak, we all get weak. He would get weak in the journey. But Jesus, he stayed focused. Yes. Jesus makes a promise while on the Roman cross. And he said to one man that as he was going to be executed, he said, think, you're about to be killed. You know you were wrong, but you see someone else who is innocent, and they just may know something about death that you do not understand. Do you ask for help, or do you just be quiet? Here we see that even on the Roman cross, Jesus was teaching and giving an invitation to Christ. Huh? He was giving an invitation. Do you just hold your peace and say nothing? Here you are in this situation. Criminals realized that he had done wrong, but the other one reproved Jesus and asked him if he knew God. Think about that. He asked him, do you know God? And if you are afraid of God, are you afraid of God? And he goes on to say that he is aware that they have both been involved in a life of crime. And that man, the one that was next to him, who is Jesus, had done no wrong. Think about that. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your glorious place. Think about that. When you have the opportunity to ask him to bring you, to not forget about you. Don't forget about me, Lord. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you for Jesus, and we bless his holy name today. Master, we ask that you use us for your glory. Use us for your edification. Use us as we continue to believe that we believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, that we believe and we decide to give our lives to Jesus Christ, that we believe to make a change. Help us, oh God. Master, we surrender to you right now, and we bless your holy name. Bless your people, oh God. Whatever they stand in need of, God, we ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus to touch the hearts, oh God. Let them be an example, oh God. Let us be an example shining in a dark place, oh God. Where corruption is, oh God, let our light shine. Where whole hearts are, God, hard hearts, let our light shine. Where men will see you in us. And we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Son. I got to say that again. He's the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. He is our El Shaddai. He is our King of Kings, and he is our Lord of Lords. We trust him, and we believe that he will do just what he has said. Look at the cross. The Father and the Son working together. Working together the same way they work together in creation and creating us. Oh, yes, yes, we should always humble ourselves before a mighty God. Yeah, always, always. Be at a place where we are willing, our hearts are open, and we are willing to follow Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes. And we just thank you, and we thank all the listening audience. We know that we have viewers hearers in Canada tonight? Yes. We have those who are listening to us in Japan, those that are listening to us in Ireland, even in Germany.
Yeah.